بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه أبدا سرمدا، حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه، حمدا يليق بجزيل نعمائه. وأصلي وأسلم على نبيه الصادق الأمين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله الطاهرين الطيبين وصحابته الصالحين الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، اللهم اكتبنا منهم. fuel flow chart that you have in front of you is a summary of the discipline of tazkiyah. That is the way I summarize it. That is the way, upon studying and analyzing and synthesizing and by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I believe that this chart simplifies a ilm that is very profound and very beautiful, and which is a process, a circle, a continuing circle until one dies. And that in this chart that you have in front of you, you might have had some of you another chart which is basically the same thing, as some of you will soon realize, that the tazkiyah is comprised of those basic three elements, and then the rest are the support mechanisms for this process. Ilm, and that's what we are dealing with. Ilm, and a continuous diet, regular diet of ilm. Ilm through learning, ilm muktasab first, which, inshaAllah ta'ala, as the dark arrow implies, leads and generates tawbah that we have talked about and we'll talk about again, inshaAllah ta'ala, for there are many of you who are new. That will lead into and generate mujahada. And mujahada feeds back into ilm. And we shall realize, and I think we have pointed that out, I believe, perhaps even yesterday, that as we acquire external ilm, and as we learn external ilm, and through tawbah and mujahada, which we spoke about in terms of the shovels, remember? We spoke about that. The shovels of Tawheed, the shovels of Mujahada, that are intended to clear the ground of the qalb. And when that continues, the qalb clears out and clears out, yarhamukallah, until one day that shovel hits the soft ground and spring from within gushes out. And that is ilm, ladunni, ilm ilhami, from within. External ilm with tawbah and mujahada will generate, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from within ilm. And that is al-ilm al-ilhami that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speak about in different terms And we shall address that inshaAllah ta'ala. That's where the origin of firasa comes from. That's the origin of tawassum that Allah and His Rasul speak to us about. That's the origin of al-ilm al-ladunni that Allah speaks to us about. That is a glimpse into the nubuwa. And those arrows, those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 arrows into the mujahada, the support mechanism, are qillatu al-kalam, wa qillatu al-ta'am, wa qillatu al-manam, wa qillatu al-ikhtilati bil-anam, wa dhikrullahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qillatu al-kalam, less speaking, or quietness and silence. Samt, less speaking, less talking. Second arrow, al-ju', or less eating. Less eating. Thirdly, qillatul manam, or sahar. Sometimes they write them in these terms. Qillatul manam, less sleeping. And fourthly, qillatul ikhtilat. Qillatul ikhtilat bil anam, less mingling with people, or retreat, or khalwa. And fifthly, that almost arrow by itself of support into mujahada is zikrullah azza wa jal. And when this system is run and run smooth, as you know, every system, when it begins to function first, not at its maximum. You have to get some time until everything goes smoothly. And when the system, alhamdulillah, becomes running and running smooth, then the course into the journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is smooth. And every cycle of tazkiyah, every cycle of tazkiyah generates that, or opens an aperture into the qalb. Opens an aperture towards the upper world, towards al-mala' al-a'la, towards the origin of all knowledge, towards the source of all knowledge. And begins to disengage the qalb from the nafs. Begins to shut the shutters of the lower nafs into the qalb. And as that is severed, then the channels onto the upper world are open to the qalb. In other words, the qalb becomes freer and freer and freer from the grasp of the nafs and of shaitan and of the khalq. And then it begins to experience its happiness. This is all the ilm of tazkiyah. I pray to Allah that by this we have a methodical, systematic approach by which actually to look at our improvement or the lack thereof. Every question you're going to ask, perhaps yourselves, you're going to ask sometimes your teachers and so on, if that is done methodically, you have it right in this chart. Why am I not feeling what I should feel? Why am I not improving the way I should? There in the answer. You look at the chart, then the answer is always, what is missing of ilm? What is missing of tawbah? What is missing of mujahada? And what is missing of the support mechanisms? That's it. A doctor of the physical qalb, has a chart, has an ilm that he follows, and with experience, of course. Then he follows that chart, and you describe the ailment, and he knows, in accordance with that chart and that ilm and that systematic approach, where to go. This one only, or this one and this one, and this one. The experience, of course, of those who have walked before us into this path is fundamental. Just like sometimes a patient alone, even if he read all the books of medicine, cannot be a doctor. But I mean by this, it is very helpful to you, it is very helpful to us, especially when you go back to the... I was going to mention the word that was mentioned to me this morning, a rat race of every day, into that race in which you are always a rat. Even when you win as a rat. And I like that. JazakAllah khair for sharing that with me. I have something to guide me. What am I doing? Where am I about my regular diet of ilm? And many questions pertain to that, some of which we're studying. A lot of which we're studying. My tawbah. The burst may not be strong enough. The gates, therefore, have not opened wide enough into mujahada. Why am I weak in mujahada? Go back. Maybe because of my tawbah. Go back. Ilm. And all the questions we study with that. And then maybe support mechanisms. Khalwa, environment. Talking too much. Eating too much. Yeah. Eating too much. Sometimes is the reason why I am weak spiritually. Sleeping too much. Sometimes is the reason why I'm weak spiritually. Not enough dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I keep on, alhamdulillah, gradually improving on this one and on this one. Ultimately, having all the machine or the system rather, the spiritual system machine doesn't, it's not good for this. It's not good as a word for this context of spiritual path. The spiritual system is not yet running smoothly. Give it time. Keep correcting. Keep rectifying along the way. Sometimes, you know, my dear brothers and sisters, sometimes the reason is being simply, well, maybe I have a television at home. Wallahi al-azim. Some of these things I would have wanted you to come as a conclusion to such, for example, observations. That I have a television at home. And what do I mean by television? I do not mean the machine itself, for they're just like a spoon or a knife. But of course, the programs, the what is in that box, and what does it mean? What am I subjecting my eyes to? And therefore storing an entire pool of data and of information where? Inside of me. Minus. I am feeding certain types of nafs. The images I see, the images are very powerful. They remain imprinted in the mind and in the qalb for decades. And then one day, you decide to stop that. And you begin then to know here, not here, and by arguments. You begin to know that subhanAllah, that was an obstacle in the clarity of my heart. Then 10 years later, 15 years later, the clearer your qalb becomes, the images come back. Even 15 years later. sometimes as a rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that you repent. The more sensitive the qalb becomes, sometimes the more of those past images and sounds and actions come back in your clear state, so that, because sometimes one has not repented fully from those, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows them to be available into your memory in order that you turn into real tawbah again, or in order that you continue to show your iftiqar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That sometimes the safa maybe of your heart, when it occurs, when one reaches some of that level, the cleanliness of your qalb, so that it doesn't lead you to vanity. It doesn't lead you to arrogance. Then that comes back again. What you were, ya abd. And then because your qalb is in safa, you feel haya. It makes you feel haya from Allah. Allah forgives, then there is haya left. Ma'asiyah has always, always a lasting impact. After Allah forgives. After tawbah. Because the mu'min, when he's forgiven or she's forgiven, alhamdulillah, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقَنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. This is the ayah of Raja. The ayah. The ayah of Raja. Of hope. For the mu'min, for the muznib, for the ta'ib. Because Allah says subhanahu wa ta'ala, say, O ibadi, O my servants who have overwhelmed themselves with sins, do not despair. Do not despair from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah forgives all the noob. And then the more qalb is clear, the more the qalb feels the minna of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this ayah. And then just that ayah, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that giving and forgiving, shatters the qalb into tears. But then the haya of a mu'min remains from Allah Azza wa Jal. Haya. That one has disobeyed Allah Azza wa Jal. Now this is after tawbah. And the qalb has cleared. And this, Allah has forgiven. But no, I know more about Allah. And I have disobeyed you, Ya Rabbi, while you were seeing me. This mu'min in that hell is unbearable for him. Not anymore out of fear of his punishment, for he is forgiving out of haya. And haya shall never leave the qalb of a mu'min in already a state of full tazkiyah or pseudo tazkiyah or some tazkiyah. Haya, haya, haya. And haya is itself levels. Alhamdulillah. Ilm of dhunub. The ilm about dhunub. We shared yesterday with each other ilm about the nafs of the nafs, that would have led us to the conclusion, ilm wise at least, that we need to be free from ourselves. We need freedom from the self and not freedom of the self. And the freedom from the nafs and from the self is indeed the freedom of the qalb from the nafs. And therefore the freedom of the qalb from the impact of dhunub on the qalb. And dhunub, disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sins always have an impact inside of us, on our qulub, always. The summary that you have in front of you, for example, the ulama rahimahullah ta'ala, of whom Shaykhuna rahimahullah ta'ala, Shaykh Ibn al-Qayyim and others speak of some impacts of dhunub, which themselves actually summarize many other impacts in this comprehensive way. And one of those impacts of dhunub on us is, he speaks of khasf first, the one I think he speaks about is al-khasf. Al-khasf is lowliness and debasement that one feels in the qalb, regardless of what one shows externally and how much external authority and power and ease and prosperity and he or she may have. His qalb will always be low. His or her qalb will always be low. Subhanallah, always. أَبَى اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَنْ يُذِلَّ مَنْ عَصَاهُ, said Imam al-Hasan al-Basri رحمه الله تعالى. أَبَى اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَنْ يُذِلَّ مَنْ عَصَاهُ. Allah had decreed formally that any who disobeys him will be low. A law of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Al-Hasan al-Basri himself is related to have said this in the following context. That is, when he saw some people of authority and of wealth and of power. And of course, many people are impressed by these things. We human beings are impressed oftentimes. The first thing that impresses us as human beings when we are in a certain inner state are the appearances, whether of individuals or of institutions or of systems or of civilizations or of always. That's the first thing that attracts us. So in those days, what they had are horses and certain types of horses and mules and of course the palaces and the fortresses and all of those things that comes with power and status. And he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, as he was a man of ilm and ma'rifa, min sayyid al-tabi'een, of the best of the Tabi'i era, as he observed such people, rahmahullah ta'ala, and people around him who had beautiful hearts and powerful intellects and alhamdulillah were humble and so on, and he taught and he said, rahmahullah ta'ala, wallahi wa in taqtaqat bihimul bighal wa hamlajat bihimul baradheen فَإِنَّ ذُلَّ الْمَعْصِيَةِ لَا يُفَارِقُ قُلُوبَهُمْ فَإِنَّ ذُلَّ الْمَعْصِيَةِ لَا يُفَارِقُ قُلُوبَهُمْ أَبَى اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَنْ يُذِلَّ مَنْ عَصَاهُ. This write it in golden ink. أَبَى اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَنْ يُذِلَّ مَنْ عَصَاهُ. So he says, رحمه الله تعالى, and very beautiful and eloquent Arabic language. He says, by Allah, even if they mounted the mules that walked lightly, a light walk of a mule in those days, usually it's the judges, they don't ride horses, they ride a mule. taq taqat. You know, the sound of the baghla, the mule, the light walk, taq 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 taq. The light one. And it is taq taq, also indicative that the ground on which they walk is not sand and mud and so on, but it is paved. In that very word, all of this is communicated. So they are not just anyone. Their nouns don't walk on any ground, but on paved grounds for them. طَقْطَقَتْ بِهِمُ الْبِغَالِ وَهَمْلَجَتْ بِهِمُ الْبَرَاوِينَ. الْهَمْلَجَ is هَمْلَجَ. البرذون is another word for الحصان, for the horse. Even if they mounted horses that gracefully carried them and ran with grace. And ran with grace. The dhul of ma'asiyah, وَهَمْلَجَتْ بِهِمُ الْبَرَاذِينَ. The dhul of ma'asiyah, the lowliness, the debasement of ma'asiyah, of sin, of disobedience. لَا يُفَارِقُ قُلُوبَهُمْ, shall never depart from their hearts. أَبَى اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَنْ يُذِلَّ مَنْ عَصَاهُ. Allah willed and decreed that lowliness and debasement is the share of the one who disobeys Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. والله إنه لحق والله إنه لحق أين. So when I know this, my dear brothers and sisters, of dhunub, and especially when in the pursuit of this cycle of tazkiyah things begin to clear a little bit, then this ilm begins to have a taste inside of my qalb. I can see that inside of me. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the ilham of the abd's qalb, to see that in a human being. And the abd knows that human being has disobeyed Allah azza wa jalla. And that human being is afraid inside. And that human being is insecure inside. And that human being is low inside, to the extent that sometimes it is shown on the face, that is sometimes seen and known. Wallahi innahu al-haq, my dear brothers and sisters. In a sense, those who see that sometimes are some ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah doesn't give this ilm to everyone. And therefore those ibad keep it always to themselves, because that is sirr min Allah Azza wa Jalla lahum. That is a private gift to Allah Azza wa Jalla to them, and they keep it and they never expose it. They don't come to the person and tell him or her, you have done this in front of people publicly. Never. That's between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah grants them these gifts in order that they help others, that they be compassionate on others, that they be merciful towards others, that they guide others, not that they expose others. Because that's the work of shayateen, and that's the work of the wicked, and that's the work of the zalim, and that's the work of the jahil. Khasf, my dear brothers and sisters. And of the consequences of dhunub is also maskh. Maskh. And Allah tells us about it in the Quran, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us about it in the Sunnah. And I'm not going to mention the texts pertaining to some of these, only sometimes and occasionally, and even in the summary that you have in front of you, much of the texts have not been introduced, because it's intended to be a summary. And that maskh meaning, if you will, mutation. That the person's inner being is mutated into that of an animal. Characteristic of the type of dhunub he or she commits. This should remind you of something we have already covered. What is it? The type of nufus. And that means what? That the type of dhunub we commit will enhance the image, put the word enhance, the image of the type of animal minus is. The certain types of dhunub I commit will cultivate and nourish the behemoth, a cow or a pig or kada or kada or kada or hyena or wild dog or kada or shaitan, wal-iyad billah. Until so much so that my nafs becomes fully a nafs of such or such an animal. To the extent that sometimes, again, some ibad, subhanallah, as they have experienced and said, وَتَفَرَّسُوا wa, and they saw with the eyes of their qulub, and they saw that sometimes in the very appearance of abd. Sometimes it comes to them in dreams. And I'm not speaking about the dreams of the wicked and say, I had a Rabbani dream. And sometimes it goes to the extent that it becomes externally a mutation. And Allah did that sometimes and occasionally. That some ibad have been physically transformed and mutated into animals. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in an authentic hadith that also amongst this ummah of Islam, there will be maskh of people into qirada wa khanazir in the latter times. That there will be people in this ummah mutated into qirada wa khanazir. That is, so much, we can look at it this way, so much have the nufus become nufus mamsukha to the animal state, so much so and so intensely and so obviously and so wal-iyadu billah with such audacity against Allah Azza wa Jalla and rebelliousness, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that appear in their own physicality. Nasr. Zunub and Masr, my dear brothers and sisters. Hada. Masr. Aina. Min Masrha, yani hawala. Taghayyar. Aina. Nasr. Nasr is at the level, Nasr is at the level of the actions, of the writing, of the words, and masakh is at the level of the qualities and the characteristics. Masakh, nasakh. The Arabic language has a lot of these beautiful one-to-one correspondences. The third one that Ibn al-Qayyim also speaks about is naqs. Naqs, and you have all of that summarized. And naqs is, that's why you have something that is manqus, a glass that is manqus, which is upside down. And that, the dhunub lead to an upside down change in the qalb of the individual. Meaning that he or she will perceive things in reverse. Something right will be wrong. And that's as a result of dhunub. Something right will be wrong. Qalbun mankus. And Rasulullah speaks, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about a qalbun mankus. All of these are from the Quran, from the Sunnah. These classifications are not, as a matter of fact, ijtihadi. They are textual. Mankus. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about the qalb that is ma'il, mankus, tilted, does not hold anything inside of it properly, tilted. Kalkuzi mujakhiya. When he speaks of that qalb, alladhi ushriba al-fitana, that is soaked with fitan and absorbs fitan and enjoys fitan and looks for them, you know, and mutashabihat and so on, is soaked with those, and he calls that a qalb that is mankus. He calls that kalkuzi mujakhiya. It becomes like a container that is had fallen, it's tilted, it's not straight, anything inside of it will fall out. كَالْكُوزِ مُجَخِّيَا لَا يَعْرِفُ مَعْرُوفًا وَلَا يُنْكِرُ مُنْكَرًا إِلَّا مَا أُشْرِبَ مِنْ هَوَى, as says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That such qalb does not know what is khair, does not forbid what is evil, except that which his or her heart was soaked with of fitan. And in this case, the fitan are the type of philosophical, ideological opinions and views and ideas. That's what it is. Because maradu al-qalb, imma maradu shahwatin aw maradu shubah. That's one way to look at it. As the result of the nafs, of course, then it can be looked as the amrad of the qalb, the diseases of the qalb, as two categories, one of shahwa and one of shubha. The marad of shahwa, marad of appetite, it has to do with the weaknesses of the qalb and of the nafs that are carnal, that have to do with the behini tendencies, such as eating and sleeping and playing and copulating and you know, these things that are of the shahwa, of the internal, if you will, low appetite, on of seeing and of hearing and of the tongue and these types of appetites. But the shubha, the marad of the shubha, and both are spoken about in the Quran in very clear terms. The marad of the shubha has to do with the intellectual issues and ideological issues and views and opinions. There is a meil, there is an inclination towards certain ideological and philosophical and intellectual approaches and ways and philosophies, ila ghairi dhalik. And these lead to shubuhat. And a qalb that is marid is easily affected by the shubuhat and easily affected by the shahawat. So, the qalb that is in a state of naqs is in a state of being upside down. لا يعرف معروفا ولا ينكر منكرا إلا ما أشرب من هوا. And that's where the hawa concept comes in. The hawa is a sifa of the nafs. The hawa, shahwa and hawa are sifat of the nafs, are characteristics and traits of the nafs. So when I say my nafs is weak, and I say my nafs and my shahwa and my hawa, either I'm being repetitive or I'm mentioning first the general and then following it by the khas, by the specific. And this is common in balagha, and common in the Quran, and common in the words of the hukama, in the words of the wise, that we mention first a general attribute and we follow it by the specifics of that general attribute. So when we say nafsi wal hawa are my enemies, nafsi wal hawa are my enemies, my nafs and the hawa, which means my nafs and the hawa of my nafs, because the hawa is a characteristic of the nafs, the shahwa is a characteristic of the nafs, in the manner I just explained to you, in the difference between shahwa and the difference between hawa, and hawa leads to shubha. and shahwa, and hawa also leads to shahwa. You understand? Hawa is different from shahwa, but hawa leads to shahwa. But shahwa is not hawa. Hawa is the leader, is the imam. And shahwa is the energy. One has his or her hawa as the imam, as the guide, not the shara. His or her inclinations, his or her intellectual, quote-unquote, prowess, or the lack thereof. The person's leader is the hawa, not the shara. Views, opinions, I repeat. One's reliance on one's intellectual abilities only. That is the hawa. Independent from shara. Sometimes trying to model or to mold rather the shara into the hawa, or the opposite. So the hawa guides, and the shahwa is the energy that moves the abd to follow that hawa. And also, hawa generates shahwa. Because hawa leads to, is a leader that is not the shara. So it generates and it incites and it provides momenta inside the nafs and not the qalb. Of shahwa, of appetites. Because sometimes my intellectualizations to certain things lead me to legitimize certain carnal appetites, isn't it? And leads me to develop certain appetites that are immoral and that are harmful and that are evil and that are low and that are base. My hawa leads me to my shahwa, leads shahwa as well and generates a type of shahwa. So al-qalb al-mankus is the qalb that ends up, in other words, seeing falsehood as truth and truth as falsehood. And some of the arguments around it are these that we just mentioned. We stop here, inshaAllah ta'ala, and we resume in about 7 minutes, bi-idhnillah.